Lori Prox here with Kathleen Todd of Valdez Medical Clinic and Providence Valdez Medical Center. Hopefully everyone out there had a great Thanksgiving holiday, but not quite back to normal with this COVID out there. And Kathy will head right to it because at first it was COVID, then a Delta variant, and now, you know, now the variants are kind of a little more Star Wars-ish. We have a Omicron, which sounds a little, I don't know, it sounds kind of a little ominous, but things I've read, it's in its infancy and we don't know much about it. So I know the data is not really out there yet, but I thought I would ask and ask what you know and how that's going to relate to Valdez.
Yeah, well, this new variant, that's just a different Greek letter. We're almost halfway through, so that's a Greek letter that would correspond to O, I suppose. And they're trying to do them in order, but they skip letters that don't wear well. Like, for instance, they skipped new because that would be way too confusing to say this new variant. And so they skipped the letter N in the Greek alphabet. Anyway, that's how we got to Omicron. It's been found, you know, in Southern Africa is who reported it. South Africa reported it, which is actually one of the cool things that's happened in this pandemic is that there are scientists all over the world that are really watching things and then sharing the data really fast, which then means that when you say, okay, now what does that mean? What do you know about this variant is, well, we told you about it as soon as we found it, but we don't really know much about it yet. And that's kind of frustrating. But it does mean that they're reporting things out quickly. It's already been found in umpteen countries in Europe. There's a case in Canada. It's probably in the United States already, but they're trying really hard to kind of not have a lot of international travel right at the moment, just so they could figure it out a little bit more. There's several things about variants that bother people. It could be like Delta, where it's just way more contagious than the original one. This one, maybe yes, maybe no. They don't know that yet about how contagious it is. It also could be, is it more severe or less severe? And there was one of the ones that got a letter, but then turned out not to be very contagious, thank goodness, that was more severe. So we don't know that about this one yet. It actually seems like it might be less severe. But that's really in the speculation stage so far. And then the other thing is whether immunity is good to it. Either if you've had the disease, will you not catch it again? Or if you get a vaccination, will it protect you very well against this variant? And that's what everybody's worried about so far, but they don't really know yet.
And how does this play into that people in Valdez, you know, wondering, what does this mean for me? I think a lot of people have had the vaccine. I don't know what the final numbers are here in Valdez. And I know the vaccination just opened to 5 to 11 years old. But over half, I believe, of the population has two vaccinations. And then I think many of them, I think... at the federal level, at first it was a recommendation that you get a booster shot, and now they're saying you should. So it's kind of semantics of that word. But what do you say to that? And how does this new variant play into that decision, or does it?
It does. But what you don't want if your vaccine is not quite as good against the new variant is partial immunity. That is, if the immunization wears off, then you would want to make sure that you are all up to date on the vaccine. And so they change it from 18 and above can get a vaccine if they want to, we recommend it. We have a lot of vaccines like that where you get a first series as a little kid and then you get a booster before you go to school and then it lasts for 10 years and that sort of thing. Whereas, you know, when you're getting in at 2, 4, 6 months, how come those aren't 10 years apart? Well, because you're starting it out. So this vaccine may last longer, or it may be that we need it often, or we even need a variation on the vaccine the next time around. But people who have very high titers, either who just had Delta variant or who have had their third shot or just had their second series, they'll be the best off if Omicron gets to here, which it probably will.
Okay, Kathy, and what is the status of the testing and vaccinations here in Valdez? I know we had the unified command, and then it's kind of went to the hospital and some nonprofit groups to try to put out information and things about COVID. Where are we with that, and where do we look to for information about testing and pod clinics? I know we didn't have an update this week from the city of Valdez in our email newspaper. You know, they had thought they would do that, but we didn't see any data there on anything happening this week. So is there anything happening this week that the public should know about regarding COVID or vaccination?
Absolutely. There's always a chance to get a COVID shot if you need a first one, a second one, a third one. You go through either the pharmacy or Dr. Alfaro's AlphaDoc clinic, or the public health nurse. 4612 is probably the central area to get a shot, and they're basically giving shots some day of every week, often multiple days of every week. There is a pod up at the Civic Center, a point of dispensing at the Civic Center, this Friday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. You need an appointment, so call up 4612. But that was specifically because it's 3 weeks after we got the vaccine for the kids. The kid vaccine is the same one, but in a different dosage. And so as soon as that arrived in Valdez, we had an event for 5 through 11-year-olds that couldn't get the other vaccine. And this was 3 weeks after that, so they could get their second shot now.
But you had mentioned, and I didn't...
the only people who would be available for that clinic. You can get other shots at that clinic. The grown-ups in the family, kids could get their first shot. I think they're giving flu shots, too. Let me come back to why flu shots are particularly important this year. Anyway, just call up 4612 and get your name in if you want to be part of that 5 to 7 on Friday evening clinic.
Okay. Good to have that information and the awareness that can be a vaccination for anyone in any age group if they make a reservation. So how about the schools, Kathy? You are on the school board and then also as a doctor involved in what's happening there. There is a school nurse on board hired about, I don't know, year and a half ago. It's now Shelby Gudgel, and you're kind of have your own plan at the schools, and we talked about that 2 weeks ago, the test to stay program. And I know that school has not been in session, but you know, there have been some cases. So how is that working? Is that working well, the test to stay?
I think it's working fine so far. I think we mentioned last time that FEMA has sent testers to Valdez. We actually have three in town at the moment. And one of them is assigned to the school, so that's making the test to stay go particularly well. When it started off, we had a lot of contacts, and so contacts who are unvaccinated, which is most of the kids, all the kids so far, because they haven't had their second shot. Close contacts, if they want to, can do testing instead of quarantining, but that takes a lot of testing by the schools, and it's been really nice to have the FEMA people around to do that. They're going to be around until Christmas vacation. Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen with all the people that traveled at Thanksgiving or are going to travel at Christmas. I'm sure that still isn't as many people as it would be in a usual year, but it's a lot of people who've been, you know, waiting to see grandma for a long time now and are going to bite the bullet and do it, especially since their kids now are immunized. And but the airports are apparently really full and the planes are absolutely shoulder to shoulder. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen when people get back from all that traveling.
And the schools has kind of their own testing protocol, and you know, you keep track of that. How important is testing? And Kathy, are we going to have to, is this just part of everyday life that's going to go on forever and ever and ever?
Can I take that in two different things?
Sure, sure.
The testing at this point, you know, we may be sick of it, but this, remember, the problem with this virus is that you can be spewing viruses asymptomatically, and you can do it for the 2 days before you get your first symptom. And that is the problem. If it were like Ebola and you were throwing up blood by the time you're contagious, people tend to stay home at that point. But the fact that you didn't stay home for the 2 days before you got your sniffle or your cough or your fever means that people get exposed even when you're not sick. So it's still important to do the close contacts and that sort of thing. The state has now announced that they have plenty of test kits again. We got past that
shortage
point there where we didn't have enough tests to go around. So we really want anybody to test when, if they have any kind of symptoms whatsoever. And we have plenty of tests to test close contacts also. The school is doing its very special thing, which partly has to do with kids being kids and less likely to get sick. So that doesn't really go for grown-ups, and it doesn't go for passing it around in your family. That school program's only available if your close contact was another student, another person at school. But we really need people to be testing if they're asymptomatic, but they've been exposed to their family member or their coworker or any of those sorts of things. The best time to test is, you know, with any symptom. Any symptom, be glad to test you. But for instance, if you're vaccinated but you're close contact, the best time to test is day 3 to 5. If you are a close contact and you're not vaccinated and you're not symptomatic but you're not vaccinated, maybe day 5 to 7. And to stay away from people until you get that negative test back to make sure that you're not the person who caught it but just doesn't feel very sick. We're going to be doing that for a while. What one would hope in the long run is that we could get enough people vaccinated, and or I suppose people could just keep catching it every 6 months, so that they don't. So that it's more like the flu. It is not like the flu right now. People are still dying of this. You know, way more than would die of the flu in a year. Way more. But if we get it down to where, if you're vaccinated, you do have kind of a minor case, except for a few people who are at high risk, and we have medicines for those people. If we can get to that point, then we wouldn't have to be doing the quarantining and the close contacts, but we are not to that point because I'm still seeing people really sick, people in the hospital from COVID. It's not a minor illness. And so to just say, if you catch it, you catch it, is not what everybody wants to do.
And Kathy, you can read a lot about treatments and what they're working on. But at this point, and I think you just verified that here in Valdez, in most medical facilities, you really have treatments for high risk patients still at this point. Do you anticipate or know about any other treatments that are promising or looking like they're closer down the pike?
Well, there's one that's getting on in the trials. It's not authorized yet, but there's an oral pill that would be something that you took early
could
on
take at home
if you were exposed or if you're starting to get it. Which would be much nicer than having to be at the hospital getting an IV or having a lot of shots in your belly to, what we have right now is very expensive and difficult to administer and has a lot of allergic reactions. But if it were a pill and it weren't so expensive and it didn't have so many side effects, that would be a really nice thing to have. And they're on the verge of having something close to that. I don't know about the price.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye, I guess, on those. Kathy, here in town, what is our status? I mean, I know at the schools are keeping track of testing and all of that. Are we keeping up with contact tracing here as a town. I haven't, thankfully, I haven't had to talk to a contact tracer. So how is that going? And do we anticipate any changes to that? Or is it going to be kind of status quo here as to how the medical community is operating?
Well, as the number of cases in the state goes down, which it has, we're down in the 200.
Yeah, let's celebrate that. Let's take a moment. Now. Yay. Okay.
Yay. Absolutely. Yeah. And Valdez, I think, is down in the 20s now instead of it got up to 105, I think was the max there. 20 is much more doable. But so that makes contact tracing easier because a lot of people, and we also have a lot of people who know what we're going to ask, and so it's not all up to the state getting you a phone call the day of your test, which they have kind of not been able to do for a long time. But that's what you really need to do is if you're testing positive, you need to go back and say, oh, let's see, who have I been around for the last 2 days when I was contagious? Oh, I better tell them. They better quarantine. They better get away from people. And what I hear when I talk to people who are positive is that a lot of people have already done that. They already called their mother-in-law. They already called work, and work was calling everybody, all the different employees that they would have been exposed to or the different clients that they would have been exposed to. So the people are kind of doing that. They know what the shtick is, and they just start it themselves, which is wonderful. The school is doing tracing of the close contacts at school that is not dependent on the state. And then the staying home, isolating, if you have a positive test for 10 days, most people have that figured out or have at least thought about what they're going to do with splitting their household or, getting their duties taken care of in some way. A lot of people have that figured out either because they've been through it before or because they've seen other people do it. The quarantine thing, there are fewer employers that are saying, watch, you need documentation of that. People do need documentation often, but employers are going, oh, yep, okay, got that. So it's been nice that it's not all up to the state to do the contact tracing and figuring out who you got it from. We still really, really need to be testing people. You'd be surprised what it is that you need that test result for. Travel, work wants one, work wants you retested. Oh, but I've had COVID. Well, how do you know that you've had COVID? Well, where's my positive test? You know, there's a lot of reasons that we really need to test people to be able to do the contact tracing and for future reference so that we can figure out that they had it within 90 days, that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely a lot of testing. I did catch the end of the council meeting last night where the city attorney was talking about potential mandates coming down for employers of 100 or more. And I know when some of those things come down about testing and testing to work or having a vaccination, those really impact our small hospital and clinics here in Valdez. So I don't know what the extent of that is, but that's, are you working through some of those employers and in the numbers and making it more challenging?
My understanding is that Alaska was privy to a suit that had, I don't know, 10 other states or something like that. Those mandates are currently on hold in the state of Alaska. It was going to be that anybody who had a federal contract of any kind, which includes Medicare and Medicaid, so that's all the doctor's offices and all the hospitals, but also any employer over 100, which is the school district, that sort of thing, was going to have to either test or vaccinate before January something or other. And they say that's on hold at the moment. Who knows how it's going to come out in the courts.
Yeah, and I was just wondering, I know
it was... The hospital and the clinics have been on... the clinics have been on board with that from the beginning. I don't have anybody in my office that's not vaccinated. And just my private business rule. the hospital system, of course, is a much bigger entity, but Providence already did that with their own exemptions, which the federal exemptions might be different, but Providence has already done that. Just as a private.
Well, and I think Alyeska as well, and I think they ended up getting their own testing, so that alleviated some of the pressure there. But if this were to go through, I'm just supposing, for, you know, I know just the two offhand is the City of Valdez employees and school district, who both have over 100 employees. Would that be a big impact on our medical community to have to, you know, obviously getting vaccinated would be easier, but if folks don't want to perform that testing, any idea?
I don't know how many people are not vaccinated, but you know, say there are 25 people not vaccinated out of 100, then if you had to test those people once or twice a week, that's a lot of testing. The test kit costs $40. And so if you had to do that every week on every employee who wasn't vaccinated, that would be $1,000 a week. And the question is whether that's the employee that's going to have to pay for that or the business. There's a lot of things that are not clear about that so far.
But that's something that should be in discussions, certainly, because I could imagine that would have an impact.
Oh, absolutely. And that's just the cost of the, you know, plastic thing with the reagents in it. That's not somebody's time to do them. 25 people would take you all day.
Yeah,
and one person all day to do.
Yeah, I don't know the details of a lot of that, but I'll, you know, we get a lot of info from the state, so we'll try to keep abreast of that, because that and that lawsuit, which of course we know they're all really speedy. So that was me being cynical. So, it may not transpire for a long time, but we're in here, looks like for the long haul. And you know, hills and valleys, you talk about, we're in a valley now.
Well, we're headed for a valley now.
Okay.
We have, you know, people say, oh, great, wonderful. You know, it's not 100 anymore. It's 20. It's like, I agree. That is wonderful. But on the other hand, we were worried last spring when we had 30-something, right? So 20 is not zero. When we were down to, in May and June, we were down into the single digits, and that was wonderful. I think the thing that's helping this time is that a lot of the people who are sick are not as sick because they've been vaccinated. In an ideal world, we would find that the vaccines work really well against all these variants. We get the whole world vaccinated, so there's not a lot of outbreaks where the virus is multiplying like crazy in a whole bunch of people, and just by chance, it's going to have variants. So the fewer people we can have who are having this virus, no matter how mild, it would be great, because we won't get the variants that way. And if we get the whole world vaccinated and stayed vaccinated, then this could become an endemic illness, like flu, where, yeah, nobody wants to catch the flu, but if you get your flu shot every year, you know, the chance you're going to die of that is pretty darn low. And so, you know, if you stay home at your first sniffle, then the chance you give it to the people around you is low, and the chance that they're going to actually have a horrible result and end up on a ventilator that's going to overload the hospitals, all those things, if we could make all those things low by people all having some immunity to this virus, then we could get back to a lot more normal.
All right. Well, how about if we end there and check back with you next week and
they're probably going to have a lot more information on Omicron in about 2 weeks rather than 1 week, but we'll see how it's going by then.